Be here. Thank you for getting out into the cold, and we must have brought the cold and the snow from Wisconsin, but it's so good to be here, and I just want to say a few things as a way of introduction. Number of things coming to my mind, but I do want to just say a couple things. First of all, my wife is Lisa here, and feel free to, ladies, reach out and talk to her. She loves meeting the ladies and all that. And then we have three boys, Kian, Evan, and Connor, 5, 3, and 1. And they're a delight. And if you see them bouncing off the walls or whatever, we're working on it, okay? it's a work in progress. And I know what I was like when I was a kid, so I can see it in them. And it takes a while to get it out of them. So just bear with us. And then I want to say, in regards to the week of meetings here, that it is a great privilege to be here. I am so honored to come and preach the Word of God. I don't take that lightly. And for me, my testimony, I grew up in a Christian home, and there was 8 of us siblings, 6 boys, 2 girls. And my parents, my dad was just, he was a deacon in the church, but he just worked in a factory. And my parents, though, had a deep heart for the Lord and faithfulness to Him, and that transferred to us children. And don't underestimate, as parents, what your kids pick up from you as the parents. And what you're enthusiastic about and passionate about, your kids almost always will pick that up as well. And my parents were passionate about the work of the Lord. And it was their desire that all of us would serve the Lord with our lives. They didn't force us into the ministry or anything, but that was our heart, and we caught that from them. And my parents, when I was 15 years old, the Lord called me to preach. And it was on a Monday night in January of revival meetings. And so I always tell folks, if you miss one night, you don't know what you're missing the Lord doing in your life or someone else's life. And for me, that decision that night, I mean, it was as clear as a bell. The Lord, I was sitting right there. The Lord called me to preach, and there was no way denying it. And sometimes I think to myself, you know, are you sure the Lord called me to preach, you know? Because, you know, as a preacher, sometimes you don't feel like you're gifted in that area or whatever. But I often go back to that time I was sitting there as a 15-year-old boy, and the Lord called me to preach. And I said, Lord, you called me to do it, so I'm going to do it. And I'm thankful for that. And so just want to say that to say, please make it to every service humanly possible. And the Lord will bless that and come with an open heart. And I believe God will honor that. We'll say more about other things later. But this morning, let's get into our lesson. And want to look this morning at the Word of God. And really not just, obviously, our text and all that will come from the Word of God. But the Word of God and how it works in our lives, the importance of the Word of God, the treasure of the Word of God in our lives. And the psalmist, a number of times in the Psalms, has this phrase, quicken me according to thy word. The word quicken is the idea of revive, bring back to life. And, you know, as a church, I know you've been seeking the Lord that He would revive this church and you know, do a work in this community. And revival is always getting back to God's Word. And, you know, I'm sure you sense this just like I do. But this world and the things of this world, the temporal things of this life, just the busyness of life, we can so easily get pulled away from the Word of God and the priority it should have in our lives. And so this morning I want us to look at the importance of the Word of God in our lives and, you know, just in general in a person's life. How the Word of God, having knowledge of the Word of God, affects our walk of faith and in so many different areas of our lives, and how we are blessed through the Word of God. I was talking to a preacher yesterday, and he said, he was telling me, giving me something to think about as we were traveling. You know, when I'm falling asleep, I think, who can I call? And there's some people that I like giving a call because I know I'll have a good conversation with them. So I called this older preacher, and he's like, let me give you something to think about. And he's like, if you ever need to share this with a pastor or whoever,
go ahead and do it, but don't footnote me. So I'm not going to footnote him, but I want to share this just because I feel like it fits as an introduction to this truth that we're looking at today. And he said, when he was getting to the point where he was about to retire as pastor, that he had another preacher come in and he was telling him about this, and the preacher said, let me give you some advice. And he's like, you need to think through what as a church is important to you. And then for the last 5-6 years of your ministry in that church, you need to highlight those key truths from the Word of God so the people know why we believe what we believe. And he's like, this is what is, and the reason he was saying that is because often what would happen in churches, you know, a young pastor comes in and he takes it a whole new direction. And, you know, it's a tragedy because so many churches, you know, you have a good man for many, many years, and then a young man comes in and he takes it a whole new direction. And this pastor was telling me, he's like, I don't blame the new guy. He said, I blame the old guy for not teaching his people what they believe and saying to the young guy, we're not going that way because that's not scripture. And it just hit me, you know, there is a great need in our land, need in our churches for people to know the Word of God. You know, just think about, here's a couple thoughts. If someone were to stop you and ask you, hey, give me a Bible verse for the truth that Jesus Christ is going to come and we're going to be raptured away. Okay, we all believe that, I trust. But could you say, hey, this is where the Bible teaches that? Or do you just kind of know it up here in your mind? You know, maybe it's a verse about the virgin birth of Christ. You know, you believe it, but could you take someone to a scripture verse and say, this is where we get this truth from? It's not just something that comes through, you know, years of catechism and in our church or whatever. No, it comes straight from the Word of God, okay? And those are a couple simple ideas, but there's a multitude of truths that as Christians we need to know. The prophet said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They didn't know the Word of God. And for us, I believe it's so vitally important that we know the Word of God, that we're not just, you know, verse a day Christians. You know, I sometimes ask people, you know, generally lost people, and they talk about, no, I get a verse sent to my phone every day, and, you know, that's good enough. Well, as Christians, we shouldn't be that type of person where, you know, we just, that's like nibbling on a crumb every day, okay? We need the meat of God's Word, and it is so vitally important. So I want to look at some different aspects of the Word of God, and there's one particular truth I'm going for this morning, and it does fit in with your theme, but it's a truth that the Lord's really been working on my heart about, and we'll get there, and I'll highlight that. But as we think of God's Word this morning, the book of Psalms talks about the Word of God as being a treasure. And we see this in Proverbs as well. It's a treasure. How much do you treasure the Word of God? How much do you lay it up in your heart? Okay? We all have treasure. We all have things that we value. But how do you treasure God's Word? And that is something for us to think about. In Luke chapter 12, we have this verse, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. Now think about it. In our day and age, we have the Word of God, the completed Word of God. Not only do we have that, we have so much access to tools that help us understand the Word of God. We have Bible colleges. We have all sorts of books and commentaries and ways to study the Word of God. I would argue that in so many ways, you would think this country was a desert with the Word of God. And oftentimes, when we are in situations where we have so much, we get used to it, and we fail to see how much we have. Maybe you've been to some beautiful locations in this world. There's a lot of them. But there's been times I was in Kenya visiting my two brothers that are missionaries in Kenya, and we were there in Mount Kenya. It's this beautiful, it's the tallest freestanding mountain in the world, okay? It's not part of a big range, it's just this freestanding mountain, and it's, I forget how many thousands of feet it is, but we went to an area that right around Mount Kenya, and boy, it was just beautiful. This big mountain, and when the clouds would come back, you'd see the top of the mountain, and it was such a beautiful place. And I sometimes get to places like that, and I think to myself, you know, what do the local people in this area think? You know, here we travel around the world, and, you know, we see these beautiful sights, and we're just in awe. But what about the person that wakes up every day of their life, and they see that beautiful scenery? You know, eventually they just kind of get used to it, and they don't realize how beautiful it is. And I believe that can happen with us and the Word of God. What a privilege to have the Word of God so readily available. Now, I believe in with this whole COVID stuff, I believe in some sense, I think people were awakened to the fact, you know, when we, for a period of time, I don't know what you did here, but for a period of time, you know, some of the churches shut down. And I know the Lord used that in a lot of people's lives to realize, wait a minute, just those few weeks where we weren't in church, something, it felt like something was missing in my life. And coming back, there was a renewed passion for being with the people of God. Now, just think about it for a minute. Do we need the Word of God to be taken away from us for us to realize how valuable it is? You know, for some people, if it was taken away, they may not even, nothing would change maybe in their lives. Because at this point in life, having the freedom to open it whenever, it's not that important. It's not that valuable. But friends, I'm telling you this morning, the Word of God, if we're going to see God move in our church and move in your life and move in your family, there's got to be an attitude, a certain attitude towards the Word of God, where it is the authority. It is the Word of God. It is not just another person's opinion. It is, our, as Job said, it is more valuable than, more necessary than his daily food. And when I hear that, I think to myself, man, I have a long ways to go because I like my food. And there is, at least, you know, I sense in my own soul, you know, to go a day without food would be way more of a challenge in many cases than the Word of God. And it's a very much a challenge to me to think, wow, Job had such a walk with the Lord that that's what he said. And it was true. Think about that in your own soul. How important is the Word of God to you today? Is it something that you treasure and value more than anything else? Or is it something that you can kind of just go without, and when it's convenient, we'll open it up? So I want to look at a few things about the Word of God. We're going to look at, first of all, what the Word of God does for us. Okay, we're to treasure it, we're to value it. But what does the Word of God do for us? Okay, first of all, we are saved through the instrumentality of the Word of God. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. We are saved through the instrumentality of the Word of God. God uses His Word to bring people to a knowledge of their of salvation. Verse 23, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the Word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which, by the gospel, is preached unto you. You see that there? We're born again by the Word of God. God uses the Word of God to give us the understanding, to illuminate our understanding, to help bring Holy Spirit conviction in our lives, to bring us to salvation. Now, if you're here today and you're saved, you would be able to stand up and say, this is a scripture verse that God used in my life. Or this is how God used His Word to bring me to salvation. All right? If you can't say that, then we need to talk about your salvation. There, we understand that God uses His Word to bring a person to salvation. There was a, My wife's sister just got married about 6 months ago in Ireland. And the young man that she married grew up there in Ireland. And Ireland is, in a lot of cases, very atheistic. It's very secular. And that's the way he grew up. He grew up in a home where the parents were atheists in many regards. You know, they would maybe say, oh, I believe in God. But you know what I mean? It was just God was not in any of their thoughts. Okay. And he would have called himself an atheist as just a high schooler. Well, he was on what they call a football team. That's soccer. But he was on a football team over there. And there was a young man who was a Christian on the team. And my now brother-in-law was very much an arguer. You know, he liked debating and arguing. And so he would argue with this Christian young man about the Bible and about spiritual things. And it finally came to a point where, you know, he decided he was going to get a Bible to read it so that he could, you know, show this guy all the errors and all the problems. Well, he went and bought a Bible, and for 2 years he read through the Word of God. And guess what happened? There, he wasn't going to church. He wasn't hearing a bunch of preaching. He was reading through the Word of God. And God opened up his eyes and his understanding, and he got saved. He didn't walk an aisle. He didn't come to some revival meetings to get saved. It was through the Word of God. There's power in the Word of God. Now, that ought to encourage us as Christians that, you know, you, maybe when it comes to the matter of winning souls, maybe you think to yourself, you know, that's just, I'm not the type to, you know, open up my mouth and start talking to people. But you know what? Figure out ways. One way to do it is figure out ways to give people the Word of God. You know, there's a lot of ways. If you have a heart to do it, you'll figure out ways to give people the Word of God. It might just be, hey, you know, it's neighbor or someone you come into contact regularly. Hey, what do you think about this verse? And you quote them a scripture verse about the gospel or whatever and ask them what they think or leave it with them. Oh, I remember hearing the story of a young girl who was concerned about her father who needed to be saved, and she would make his lunches and stick scripture verses in it. And over a period of time, the Lord used those verses to bring her dad to the Lord. There's power in the Word of God. And as Christians, we need to take advantage of that. Use the Word of God as you're talking with people. You know, you might not have all the arguments and all the things that you might think, I don't have the understanding to talk to people, but if you know some scripture verses, you can at least share that. And that is what they need. That's what pierces through the darkness. So God uses his word to bring people to an understanding of their need of salvation. A person, turn with me to Romans chapter 10. And we're going to be looking at this verse in a couple times here this morning, but Romans chapter 10, verse 17, very familiar verse. Again, reiterating the truth that God uses his word in bringing people to salvation. Romans 10, 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And in the context there, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God uses his word to bring people to salvation, they can hang their faith on the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, we're going to come back to that in just a little bit, but it's essential to understand this truth as it relates to people's salvation. They need to hear God's Word so that they can put their faith in God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 talks about how the Word of God is able to make thee wise unto salvation. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Oh, for mothers here, what a privilege to give the Word of God to your children. You know, I understand. We're in that stage of life. My wife, sometimes she'll tell me, you know, I'm talking about winning souls and I'm talking about this, and then she'll remind me, but what about the mothers who are at home all day with their kids? What an opportunity with them with the Word of God. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. That word for child is brethos, for infant. Knowing the God, the Word of God, just as a small child, hearing it and what it does in a soul and awakening them and bringing them to salvation. So What does the Bible do for us? Well, we are saved through the instrumentality of the Word, but also we are changed by the Word of God. We are changed by the Word of God. Turn with me just maybe a page over to Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. How are we changed by the Word of God? Look at verse chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One way we are changed is through the renewing of our minds. What is the renewing of your mind? Maybe you've heard that phrase, you've seen it before, but what is through the renewing of your mind? That's how we're transformed. Well, one way to think of it is constantly reminding yourselves of the truths of God's Word. You know, maybe there's been a time where truth hits you, kind of exploded across your mind, and it caused change in your life. And then a year later or whatever, you hear that truth again, and your mind is renewed. You're reminded about the decisions you've made of the past, and God reminds you of that truth, and you're able to be transformed through the renewing of your mind. You know, that's probably going to happen this week. I doubt, you know, for right now, this is the first time you've heard a message on the Word of God and the importance of the Word of God. All right, but there's going to be truths that you're going to hear over and over, and that doesn't mean tune it out. It means, wait, God's trying to renew my mind. He's trying to remind me of these important truths, so all for the goal of being transformed into His image. Now, I love this here in this passage. The two words here, conformed and transformed, are really important. The word conformed, it says, and be not conformed to this world. That word conformed is the word that we get chameleon from. All right? A chameleon conforms to the colors and surroundings around it, right? That's conforming. It's changing the outside. All right, but the word transformed is where we get the word metamorphosis from. Do you remember those days of science? Remember the word metamorphosis? Okay. The process of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly is that metamorphosis. All right. I'm not a science expert, but I do know what that means. And there's a great transformation that happens from not just on the outside, but the whole thing is transformed. That is what takes place when a person humbles themselves and submits to the Word of God. And friends, that could take many years for the Word of God to work and bring us to a full place of transformation. And we never arrive. That's the thing. I don't care if you've been saved 50 years or what, 5 years, there's always room for us to grow. And to the day we die, we ought to have the attitude of submission to the Word of God, willing to subject ourselves to the truth and whatever God is trying to teach us through His Word. But that's how we're transformed. And let me tell you what, there's a great change that takes place as a person is renewed in their mind and allows themselves to be changed by the Word of God. You know, I think this is so fitting. Here we are, we're Christians. If you've been saved, you're born again, you're a Christian. And if you are conformed to this world, you're like a chameleon, okay? Because on the inside, you've been born again. You're a Christian. And if you're conforming to this world, that's all you're doing. You're making the outside look like you're trying to fit in. And it doesn't fit. That's not who you are. So don't conform to this world of which we are not a part of. Be transformed by the Word of God. Let the Word of God work so thoroughly and deeply in you that it transforms you into the image of Christ. What a powerful truth. What a powerful thing that the Word of God. Think about it. Think about it. Maybe you're here and you for 30-some years, you were in this world. And you had the thinking of this world. You know what? There's a lot that has to be undone by the Word of God. And let me tell you what. You might think on the surface, you know, I know this and this, I got to change. But let me tell you what, there's a lot of things that we don't even understand that God wants to change and transform us in, all right? And that comes as we just allow ourselves to be under the Word of God. There's a man in our church, he got saved when he was basically 40 years old. and lived a very materialistic driven life, was very successful. He was always traveling, always visiting, you know, cool spots throughout the U.S. He had, you know, his business required him to do that, and financially he was able to do that. And so, you know, he would go to rock bands and he'd go to all these venues. And let me tell you what, he had, from a human's worldly standpoint, you know, he was living the life. But now think about that. For 40 years, his life was driven by the things of this world, ungodly thinking, and he gets saved. You know, maybe another 40 years of his life left, and God wants him to be so transformed and grow so when he gets to that point where he steps into glory, he's blameless, and he has been thoroughly changed by the Word of God. And let me tell you what, it is an absolute thrill when you see the Word of God changing people's lives. Remember this gentleman I was talking about, within the last 3 years of his life being transformed, I could tell you, take an hour to tell you all the things that God has done. His wife has now been saved. His son got saved at the same right around the same time that he did. But they have been just transformed. And you know what it is? They've been just soaking in the Word of God. I remember when he told me, he said, the truth of Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, hit him. And it's transformed. He needed the truth, because let me tell you what, he could quickly get angry. He would tell you that. His parents were divorced, and there was a lot of anger in his home growing up. And that was just, he was a tall man, a big man, and you know, he could just revert to anger so fast. And one day, Proverbs 15:1 hit him. And let me tell you what, he'll often mention that over and over. Let me tell you what, he is a different man when it comes to his anger and his words. But that is the power of the Word of God, transforming a person. Have you come to kind of a standstill in your life with the Word of God transforming you? Have you kind of said, you know what, compared to a lot of other Christians in this area, I'm doing pretty good. I'm at a pretty good point. I'm content. If that's your attitude, friend, you need to cry out to God and say, Lord, change my heart, because I have a long ways to go. We always have room to grow in our lives. So we are changed by the Word of God through the renewing of our mind, through the milk of God's Word. We're not going to take a lot of time here on these truths, but the milk of God's Word, the meat of God's Word, as we eat and partake of God's Word by faith. We are cleansed by the Word of God. All right, that's how one way we are changed, by being cleansed, by our thinking being washed. And there's a lot of things in our mind and in life that as we need cleansing on a regular basis. And the Word of God helps us in that regards. The third thing I want to see. So what does the Bible do for us? We're saved through the instrumentality of the Word of God. We are changed by the Word of God. But number three, our faith is developed by the Word of God. And this is really something I really want to emphasize this morning. Our faith is developed by the Word of God. So, turn back to, maybe you're still there, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Again, this verse. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Salvation, as I mentioned, is the first decision of faith in the life of a Christian. And that decision of faith comes through hearing the Word of God. A lost person can't be saved without hearing the Word of God. They've got to hear the Word of God. That's how they understand the gospel. But the truth is just the same for that first decision of faith in a believer's life, or when a person becomes a Christian, at that moment of salvation. That's just the first step of faith in a whole life of faith. All right? Romans chapter 1, verse 17 talks about from faith to faith. It's this reiterating the step of faith all throughout our life. There's never going to get to a point in our life where we should just take it on by ourselves and stop walking by faith. All right? To the day we die, God wants us to be taking one step at a time, going forward by faith. And here we find in this verse that the key is through the hearing of God's Word. So just like at salvation, the sinner hears and understands the word of God, and he realizes, I can hang my faith on the truths of God's word. I can depend upon it. And they trust Christ in salvation. That truth is reiterated every step of faith throughout our lives. How does a Christian know the next step of faith in their lives? How do they know what God wants them to do? Through God's word, through the hearing of God's word. That's why never underestimate a preaching service. You're never gonna, you don't know what truth God is going to reveal to you that you can hang your faith on, that you can act upon in obedience. And so our faith is developed by the word of God. Now, I want to just bring in another verse here in Hebrews chapter 11. You familiar with that passage? It's the faith passage. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Think about that for a moment. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, I trust your heart is, Lord, I want to please you with my life. But what does it say is the key to pleasing God? Faith. All right? That's why, you know, you can see people that maybe you're not on the same page with, but they're trusting God, and God honors that. God honors faith. And we see that all throughout Scripture. God honors faith, even though the person has a lot of errors and a lot of sin or things like that in their lives. God honors faith. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you know, I've been reading through their lives and tests and their stories, and boy, there's a lot of problems. But yet Abraham was a man of faith. And God honors faith. He sees faith. Faith comes from God's word. Remember Abraham? You know, his faith, God gave him clear promises, and he had to respond to those promises and say, you know what, I'm going to believe God. Even though it doesn't seem like I'm going to have a child, God promised me, and so I'm going to trust him. And God gave him a son. And then even in that moment when he was led to, the Lord called him to be willing to sacrifice his son, he was still hanging on the promises of God, and he was willing to do it because he believed God. As Christians, God leads us to take steps of faith based on his word. It works the same way. And if we want a life that pleases God, there's two things that need to be take place in our lives. We need to know the word of God so that we can depend upon the word of God. Let me illustrate it this way. Imagine you have someone, find someone who doesn't understand airplanes. Okay? Now, I love flying, and I often illustrate with airplanes and flying. I just, in another life, I'd be a pilot. Okay? But, when I find pilots, I love talking to pilots and just picking their brain. I love flying. Not the little planes. I like the big planes. Have you ever sat on one of those big planes? I've flown on the Airbus 380. It's that double-decker plane. It's like, you know, it just blows your mind when you see that thing. And I've sat down on that thing and I've thought to myself, is this really going to get off the ground? Because it's just mammoth, you know. You sit down and the you're in the way back and you look down and the stewardess or whatever looks just like a small person up there. And you're thinking, how is this thing going to get off the ground? Now, imagine someone who has no concept of airplanes. You find them and you bring them to the airport and you say, we're going to get on that plane and we're going to fly. Okay, they have very little understanding, right? And because they have very little understanding, they might run the other direction. And they say, I'm not getting on the thing, right? But what you can do is you can start to explain to them the science behind it. And you explain to them, you know, maybe you have some engineers explain to them how all of it works. And the lift and the, I don't even know all the terms. But, you know, all the science behind getting this aircraft in the air. And the more understanding they get, the more they come at peace and they say, you know, I can trust this airplane. I can trust that it's going to fly. You know, that's for me, that's what I sometimes I remember flying on an airplane and It was coming back from my brother's wedding, and we were coming into Chicago, and it was in the winter like this, and it was the most turbulent time I've ever been on a plane. And I had to keep telling myself, just relax, I mean, just relax. They wouldn't be flying this plane if it was going to fall apart, you know. And I just told myself, it's going to be fine. You know, you kind of have to go back to the facts and be at ease. And so what I'm getting at is a very important truth for us in the Christian life. A lot of times we don't have faith because we don't have understanding. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the amount of faith that we're able to exercise is really dependent upon the knowledge that we have of both the Word of God and our Savior. So we need to increase our knowledge of the Word of God so that we can exercise greater faith. Just like that person who has zero understanding of how an airplane works, they're not going to want to get on that plane and to trust that plane. But once their understanding comes around and they realize, oh, wait a minute, this is how it works, and you know all the hours of engineering that goes into it, and you know you're safer on a plane than in a car, and you tell them all these truths, then they can trust it. And the same is true for us. God wants us to please have a life that is pleasing to the Lord. But it is dependent upon us understanding the Word of God. And once we understand it, act upon it. And here's my concern, is that by and large, across the Christian landscape, across the churches of this country, there's a dearth in the land of an understanding of God's Word. And so there's little faith. And there's not a lot of pleasing God. And where it goes is a people understand, wait, I need to know God's Word. I need to understand God's Word so that I can exercise faith in God's Word and that we can have a life, a home, a church that is pleasing to the Lord because we're going forward by faith. God always honors faith. He's honored when we trust His Word. You know, think about it as a dad. You know, my boys are at that stage where they like jumping off of things. That's why I feel bad for the Millers, because we're staying at their house this week and my boys love jumping off of things and all that. And, you know, I've put them up on high things and said, jump. And sometimes they trust me, and other times, you know, when they don't trust me, I'm kind of like, what's wrong with me if that they're not trusting me, you know? Think about how God feels when, you know, He's given us His Word filled with promises and we don't trust Him. And God wants to work in our lives an understanding of His Word so that we can exercise faith in our lives and have a life that is pleasing to the Lord. That's why understanding and getting into God's Word is so vitally important. We're transformed by it. We're changed by it. But it's key to a life that pleases God. God, you can't please God without faith. And so understanding, the greater understanding that we have leads to greater faith and greater opportunities to exercise that faith. And then leads to a life that pleases the Lord. That is a truth that I think is so important. God's been working in my heart regarding just the importance of knowing God's Word. It is absolutely critical. And, you know, other things as well. You know, when we know God's Word, we're going to be able to share it. Not just to the lost people, but you know, when another person needs encouragement through the Word of God, we can say, hey, God used this truth in my life, and He can do it in your life as well. He did this for me, He can do it for you. We need to know God's Word for a number of different reasons. So we are saved through the instrumentality of God's Word. We are changed by the Word of God through the renewing of our minds through His Word. Our faith is developed by the Word of God. Just a couple other things here. We are kept from sin by the Word of God. The psalmist said, Psalm 119:11, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. That word hid is treasured. You know, the things you value, you put away. Maybe you have a box at home that is one of those fireproof boxes, and it could go through a fire and you'd still have these documents and, you know, whatever it is that you would need. The things you value that are important, you put them in a safe place. Maybe you have some gold and you don't just put that on the top of your dresser. You put it in a valuable place, a place where it's going to be protected. If the Word of God is valuable to us, we're going to tuck it in our hearts. We're going to value it. We're going to hide it there. So we are kept from sin by the Word of God. We defeat Satan through the Word of God. Remember Christ? He was tempted 3 times. Every time he used the Word of God to counteract that temptation. So we need the Word of God just as much in our lives to defeat the temptations of the evil one. We are guided by the Word of God. This is a whole truth right here, how the Lord uses his Word to guide us through our lives. Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. All right? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Think of it this way. You know, maybe you've been in a camp before, and often in a camp or a camp, a state park or whatever, they'll have a main building in the middle, and there's a big light on that structure. And it kind of spreads a lot of light around so people can see it from afar. And then, but if you're way off in the distance and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, you have to use the restroom. You know, you can see the light way out there in the distance and you can kind of know the direction you're supposed to go, but you're still going to trip on the roots in the tree right in front of you. So God's word not only gives us a future direction, that light way off in the distance that we set our eyes on, but it's also the flashlight of the lamp right in front of our feet to protect us from the roots, the pitfalls across the path. Helps us keep us on the path. So God uses his word to guide us through life. How much we need God's word in our lives. I hope you're sensing that this morning. How important and valuable it is. Not something to be taken flippantly, but it ought to be the most treasured possession that we have. As we close this morning, I want to just mention a couple things as our duty to the Word of God. We've seen what the Word of God can do for us, and yes, there's many other things we could mention, but as we close, what is our duty then to the Word of God? We're to read it, hear it, and obey it. James 1:22, we won't look there, but it talks about being doers of the word, not just hearers. You know, there's this week you're either going to be a doer or just a hearer of the word of God. You're either going to take it to heart or you're just going to say, "Oh, I've heard that before," and keep going. Are you going to be a doer or a hearer of the word of God? What would describe your life as in general? Are you someone who hears the word of God and you commit it into your life and say, "God, how can I change my life according to this?" Discernment comes as we obey God's word. God gives understanding to those who say, "You know what? I'm committed to God's word regardless of what the cost is to me. I'm going to obey God's word." And as you step out in faith, God gives discernment. And we'd see that in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. So we're to read and hear and obey the word of God. We're to study the word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. And so there's that aspect of study the word of God and open up the word of God. Remember the Bereans? They would come to church, they would hear the preaching of God's word, and they would go home and study it to make sure that what they heard was what the Word of God was saying. That's great. That is great. And that's what we ought to do, to be real students of the Word. We shouldn't leave that up just to the pastor to be a student of the Word. We ought to know the Word of God. We need to memorize it, and we need to meditate on the God's Word. And I realize all that truth there is really a whole message. But we have a duty to God's Word, a responsibility to put it in our hearts, and then to grow in understanding and exercise our dependence and faith on God's word. I was struck by the story of a couple people here. There's a man, a pastor in the Chicago area. And this was maybe in the 90s, the mid-90s. And there was a very popular book that had been making the circles, had been written. It was about church growth. And really the whole mega church movement was kind of built upon this one book. And there's this group of pastors that this man was with. And he was asked to read the book and then give a book review at this pastor's fellowship and meeting. And so he read the book and was prepared to speak on the matter of this book and really debunking and showing how unbiblical this philosophy was and all that. And when he stood up to speak to all these other pastors, he said, "Gentlemen, I've read this book, and I decided after reading this book that I have to read the Bible several times more this year to make sure that the thinking of that book doesn't influence my life." Here is a seasoned pastor who recognized how important the Word of God was in his life to keeping him on the straight and narrow. Think about that attitude. He read a book. How many books do we read? You know, we read a lot of books, and let me tell you what, there's a lot of books out there by, you know, just a lot of just Christian authors, very loosely saying that. And, you know, we can, you know, walk into a Christian bookstore and be, "Oh, this kind of looks like a good book," and read it. Do we have the attitude of that pastor that says, "You know what, there could be thinking in this book that's wrong, and I want to make sure it doesn't affect me"? He was so committed to the Word of God and submitted to it that he said, "I'm going to have to read it a couple times more this year so I'm not influenced by it." I heard the story, and perhaps you know the story, of Adoniram Judson. And he was a very godly, sincere man. If you read his books about his life and stuff, you'd realize, man, this man was a very committed man to the Word of God. And just committed to the Lord in deep love. I remember I heard the stories of just the letters that were written between his wife's parents when he was asking his for permission to marry this young lady. He wrote a letter to her parents, and if you read that letter, it's a very much of a challenge to think, man, here's a young man that had such a committed relationship with the Lord. I mean, he was willing to sacrifice anything. He was basically asking, "Will you send your daughter? Will you allow me to take your daughter and maybe never see her again, take her to the ends of the earth and give the gospel?" But this Adoniram Judson had an attitude that was submitted to the Word of God. When they got on that ship headed over to Burma, he started studying the Word of God. He knew when he got there he was going to come face William Carey, another missionary. And at that time, Adoniram Judson was a Congregationalist and believed in baptizing infants. And he thought that was the right thing. And he realized on that ship, "I'm going to come to William Carey, and he doesn't believe in that, and he's going to challenge me on that. I know it." And so he and his wife, they're on that ship, started studying the Word of God. And you know what? Before they studied, they made the decision, "We are going to, whatever the Word of God teaches, whatever it says, that's where we're going to land." And as it didn't matter what their denomination was, they were going to stand on the Word of God. As they studied the Scriptures, they became convinced that the Word of God didn't teach sprinkling of infants, that it was baptism by immersion. And they said, I should get the letters, but the words they used and how they said, "That's what we believe. That's what we believe because the Bible says it." And friends, that is the attitude we need in our day and age. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We need people who know the Word of God, but don't just know it, who obey it. They step out in faith. Listen, there's consequences. It's a serious thing to know the Word of God and not obey it and act on it. When to whom much is given, much is going to be required. And friends, I believe in this church, you have a lot of the Word of God. How are you doing obeying the Word of God? What is your attitude, sir, towards the Word of God as the leader of your home? You say, "Well, I'm getting up in years," and what's your attitude towards the Word of God? Is it submission and absolute holding it at the where it ought to be in our lives? And submitting to the Word of God and obeying to it. May the Lord help us to have the right attitude towards the Word of God as we begin this week. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this church. I do pray that you would help each person here to have the right attitude towards the Word of God. It is so essential, Lord, in our growth as we walk by faith to know the Word of God. So I pray that you would just encourage your people here this morning. If there's some here that have kind of grown complacent in their walk with the Lord and their relationship with the Lord and their attitude towards the Word of God, Father, I pray that you would awaken them this morning and that they would be stirred to know your Word, to read it and obey it and to memorize it and meditate on it, Lord, so that we can be a people that are truly based on the Word of God, living by the Word of God. Oh, Father, quicken us this morning according to thy Word. In Jesus' name, amen.